Good morning. Welcome, all you hearty souls, to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the South Fork. I'm Nancy Arnold, interim minister with this congregation, and I am very glad to be with you this morning. It's worse out west, or what do you folks call it, up island? Just in case you're wondering. It gets better as you come east. This is a shared ministry. I lead services here two or three times a month, and other services are led by our worship associates or guest speakers, such as we have today. And our services vary from week to week, so if you are new here, we suggest you attend several to appreciate the diversity that we can offer in our worship experience. I want to extend a special welcome to those who may be new to this congregation or Unitarian Universalism. Our guests, I think, are not familiar. They're impressed with our signs, so welcome. It's nice to have you both here. And I hope everyone will stay for conversation and refreshments. I think we'll all have enough soup, would you say? Yeah.
Lots of soup.
After the service. I call your attention to the announcements listed in the order of service. Do we have any other congregation-related announcements today? Cool. We extend thanks to Nancy Remkes for bringing her musical gifts to us this morning. She plays songs I know and can sing, which is just wonderful for me and too bad for the rest of you. Also, thanks to Sue Penny for being a worship associate this morning. Joanne Williams Carter was to be our guest speaker this morning, and Ms. Carter is well known to many in this community for her work with the Eastville Community Historical Society of Sag Harbor, the Artists Alliance of East Hampton, and as a member of the Choral Society of the Hamptons for the last 10 years. Unfortunately, she had some surgery on Friday that is making it difficult for her to do what she had planned, and don't think this was easy to keep her still. But her daughter pulled it off, which means that her daughter, Janine Carter, is going to share her mother's remarks with us later in the service. Thank you so much, Janine, for being here to represent your mom. And now let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Please silence all electronic devices until the service has ended. We're here today because we want our religious journey to include more than one holy land, more than one vision, more than one scripture. We sing praises in many styles and in many languages. We make a joyful noise unto whomever nourishes and sustains all life. When we look around us here today, we see the beauty of diversity, people of various sizes and shapes, heads of different colors and textures. We see an age span of several generations, maybe. If the kids were here, yeah. We're also aware of personality differences, our differences in perspective, of ancestors who represent every continent of our world. Let us celebrate our diversity and let us worship together this morning. I invite you to read in unison as we light the chalice this morning the words that are in your order of service. We gather this hour
as people of faith, with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life we share together.
And we now get to sing again. Hymn number 118, This Little Light of Mine.
This little light of mine.
This is Black History Month, and our guest speaker will be speaking about some of the local history in Eastville and Sag Harbor, which was apparently one of the first completely integrated areas in the country, which is pretty amazing for a small place like this. In the 19th century, when there were millions of slaves in the United States, especially in the South, the slaves performed hard labor and other work for their masters. Around the time that the Civil War started, attitudes about slavery had started to change, and many people wanted the slaves to be free. They opened up their homes to runaway slaves and provided shelter at night, as well as supplies along their journey north. This network of secret safe houses came to be known as the Underground Railroad. The main function of the Underground Railroad was to get slaves to safety before they were captured by bounty hunters and returned to their owners. The railroad itself wasn't underground in the sense that it was a train that ran under the ground like our subways do. It was more often small groups of slaves who would travel from one station or home to the next. The railroad's conductors would assist them on their way. Long Island was host to a number of these stops to aid fugitive slaves to safety. And some local historians believe that Sag Harbor was part of this network. Some of the older homes, they have found basements and stairways that indicate that at some point this was used to help hide slaves. It's estimated that the Underground Railroad helped about 100,000 slaves escape by 1850. Now, historically, slaves have been depicted as kind of slow and submissive. And that was a facade that served them very well, especially when they were planning to escape from their owners. They sang spirituals that included coded words and expressions to pass information among themselves. For example, slaves understood the message of the Bible story of Moses leading his people to freedom in a way that slave owners often overlooked. They could tell the story by singing "Go Down Moses" right in front of their masters. The name Moses might refer to the biblical character, or it could be the conductor on the Underground Railroad. Pharaoh was the slaveholder. And Pharaoh would not expect Israel, the slaves, to make an attempt to leave Egypt, their bondage, to the promised land, which was freedom. So there you have one of the spirituals, "Go Down Moses." Another song, when they sang, "Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm going to send thee one by one. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm going to send thee two by two, three by three," and so on. The numbers in the song told those involved in the Underground Railroad how many slaves would be traveling that night. Songs like "Wade in the Water" and "Deep River," they didn't only offer spiritual uplift, they also offered practical reminders to fugitives to travel near rivers and streams for cover, safety, food, and direction. And "Follow the Drinking Gourd" was a code for the Big Dipper. Fugitives used this clearly visible constellation to locate the North Star as they made their way over mountains, through valleys, and across unfamiliar terrain. This was a map song that contains both general and specific directions, including a reminder to use moss to find the way north. Dead trees will show you the way. Nancy is going to sing that for us now.
Join in when you feel comfortable. Follow the drinking gourd. Follow the drinking gourd. Oh, the old man is waiting for to carry you to freedom. Follow the drinking gourd. When the sun comes up and the first quail calls, follow the drinking gourd. The old man is waiting for to carry you to freedom. Follow the drinking gourd. Follow the drinking gourd. Follow the drinking gourd. For the old man is waiting for to carry you to freedom. Follow the drinking gourd. Now the river bank make a mighty good road. The dead tree will show you the way. Left foot, peg foot, traveling on. Follow the drinking gourd. Follow the drinking gourd. Follow the drinking gourd. For the old man is waiting for to carry you to freedom. Follow the drinking gourd. Now the river ends between two hills. Follow the drinking gourd. There's another river on the other side. Follow the drinking gourd. Follow the drinking gourd. Follow the drinking gourd. For the old man is waiting for to carry you to freedom.
When we bring our joys and hopes and concerns here each week, humanity is strengthened by our acts of love and caring. Burdens become lighter, and the goodness in our lives becomes a shared blessing. We bring into this circle of caring those who were unable to be here this morning, those who are ill, and those who can be present only in memory. If you have a personal joy, concern, or hope to share, please raise your hand. I will bring you a microphone while Sue lights a candle representing the community's love and care. Please say your name, speak directly into the microphone, and please be brief. Would you please light the first candle for Joanne? We are wishing her well. One more. I wanted to light something for the three Muslim students who were killed in North Carolina this week. Dia Shadi Barakat, his wife Yusor Muhammad Abu Salah, and her sister Razan Muhammad Abu Salah. You're also invited to light a candle during the offering music later in the service. We hold in the heart of this community those whose candles speak for them, those who are ill or grieving, those whose pain is too great to name, and a world community so in need of loving justice. In the stillness of a shared silence, let us hold them and each other gently in the strength and comfort of this religious community. May our hearts be open to all who have entered this circle in thought or in name, and may love be our guide in this life we share together. Amen.
One night I dreamed I was in slavery about 1850. Was the time sorrow buzzing over me sign? There's nothing around to ease my mind. Out of the night appeared a lady leading a distant pilgrim band. First thing she cried, pointing her hand, "Make room aboard for this young woman. Come on up.
Let's prepare ourselves for a time of meditation by singing hymn 123, Spirit of Life.
Come unto me, sing in
Let's quiet ourselves with these words by Lewis Latimer. The son of a runaway slave, an inventor, author, poet, musician, and a founding member of the Unitarian Church of Flushing, Queens. This is called Love Is All. What is there in this world beside our loves to keep us here? Ambition's course is paved with hopes deferred, with doubt and fear. Wealth brings no joy, and brazen-throated fame leaves us at last naught but an empty name. O soul, receive the truth, ere heaven sends thy recall. Naught here deserves our thought but love, for love is all. Let us be in silence together.
Sweet love, sweet chariot, come and pour the carry me home. Sweet love, sweet chariot, come and pour the carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Come and pour the carry me
Very pleased to welcome Janine Carter to our pulpit this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am honored to stand in for my mother, Joanne Carter, who was invited to speak this morning by Sylvia Baruch and welcomed by Pastor Arnold on behalf of an organization that is near and dear to my mother's heart, the Eastville Community Historical Society of Sag Harbor. This speech was written by my mom, so please forgive me if I deliver it more or less as written in the first person. The Society's mission is to educate East End families about the contributions of the Eastville community to the East End of Long Island in general and in the village of Sag Harbor in particular. The Historical Society was founded in 1981 and grew out of an ad hoc group of Sag Harborites who banded together to save the St. David AME Zion when it was discovered that this little church, built in 1839, was the oldest church in Sag Harbor and still on its original site, and that it was deteriorating. rapidly. This information, together with the recognition that the church was not included in Sag Harbor's historic district, spurred the group to work to change the sad state of affairs. They recognized that if something were not done quickly, this important part of Sag Harbor's history would be lost forever. So these Friends of St. David's Church committed themselves to having the church, widely believed to have been a stop on the Underground Railroad, declared an historic landmark. In 1982, the group was formally organized into the Eastville Community Historical Society, chartered by the state of New York in 1986 as a nonprofit organization. The society, under the leadership of founder Kathleen Tucker, began to research the history of this easternmost part of Sag Harbor and to collect historic documents and artifacts from its residents, many of whose families had lived in Eastville for several generations. Shortly thereafter, the society was instrumental in having the St. David AME Zion Church listed in the National Register of Historic Places, and the Sag Harbor Historic District was expanded to include the entire Eastville area. A little known fact about the 19th century and early 20th century Eastville is that it was predominantly, but not exclusively, a black community. It was in fact composed of Native Americans, Shinnecocks and Montauks, and newly arrived European immigrants, as well as African Americans. These three culturally diverse groups made up the working class of Sag Harbor. During these early years, from 1840 to 1875, St. David AME Zion was the only public center and was a meeting place for the political, religious, and cultural activities of the community. The village, and along with it Eastville, evolved through many economic changes during the late 1800s and early 1900s, including devastating village fires, the rise and fall of the whaling industry, industrial development, and the tremendous growth of tourism and resort business. A few facts about the Eastville community were recorded in the official history of Sag Harbor, and in an effort to research and understand the development of this distinctive enclave and to establish the story of those families that called Eastville home, the Eastville Society recognized the need for a physical place from which they could operate. In addition, the Society was aware that nowhere in Suffolk County was there a living history museum to tell the public of the important role played by free blacks, Native Americans, and recently arrived immigrants in the development of the East End. The East End had no site demonstrating the lifestyle of the working class of the 1920-30 era. The Eastville Community Historical Society seemed the most likely organization to tell this story. Historian Kathy Tucker made us aware that there was a small house on Route 114, which was said to be a Sears Roebuck mail order house. This house had been abandoned for several years. After investigation, we discovered that the county had taken over the premises for delinquent taxes. At our request, the Sag Harbor Village Board of Trustees voted on April 2, 1996, to obtain the Sears Roebuck House from the County Real Estate Division and to lease it to the Eastville Community Historical Society with the proviso that we undertake its restoration. We agreed to do so and embarked on this ambitious project. The architectural firm of Shaliff and Rogers agreed, pro bono, to draw up plans for the restoration and to give us an estimate of the cost. The estimated cost was to be more than $120,000. But in 1996, we had already begun the project by having a new concrete basement poured and the floor shored up with steel lolly columns. A new sheeter single roof was constructed and the rotting back porch was removed and replaced. Now I want to digress, my mother wants to digress, just a moment to give some idea of the condition of the house when we started this project. It was still fully furnished, right down to the clothes in the closets and the bedspreads on the bed. About 90% of the furniture was radiators and appliances were rendered useless by severe water damage due to pipes which burst during years of alternate freezing and thawing, to which we can all relate. The plaster walls had caved in and the upright studs which held up the house were rotted at their foundations and had to be completely replaced. The house was literally being held up by the strength of the exterior walls. Everything was covered with years of dust, mold, and decay. In addition to removing the rubbish, the house had to be completely gutted. It took three large dumpsters to clear the house before any construction could be started. The grounds were overgrown with vines and weeds, and a good deal of trash and rubbish had been strewn all over the lot. The basement was packed with old trunks, which were full of old, moldy clothes and shoes, completely unusable. After several weeks of separating salvageable artifacts from the rubbish, we had the house cleared, and the volunteers spent 3 months carefully washing, wrapping, and cataloging the artifacts, which consisted of dishes, photos, books, small items of furniture, letters, personal effects, and wall and bed coverings. After the new roof and basement were completed, we enlisted a number of volunteers on 4 different occasions over a 4-year period to clear the grounds. In 1997, the front porch was repaired. In 1998, the exterior of the building was professionally painted after careful hand scraping and sanding by Eastville members and other volunteers over 4 successive weekends. Allison Cornish, the respected Sag Harbor Historic Preservation Consultant, was given a stipend to supervise the volunteers. I believe many of you, this is Mom, here are acquainted with Allison. I might add here that Sears Roebuck Riverhead provided the paint and scrapers, brushes, masks, ladders, gloves, and other supplies free of charge. In 2000 and 2001, the interior walls were completed and painted, the electric work was done, and we were ready to open our doors to the public in 1999. The lawn was cleared and made ready for our annual fish fry in July of 2000, the first to be held on our own property. The heating and plumbing were completed, and the awning was donated by the Awning Company of Sag Harbor and installed over the new back porch. The Society has raised more than $70,000 in private funds, some of which was devoted to the maintenance of St. David AME Zion Cemetery on Eastville Avenue, which was deeded over to the Eastville Community Historical Society by the church trustees. Since we offer the opportunity to members and donors to purchase commemorative shingles, over 100 people have come forward to do so. Our goal is 200 shingles, and we are more than halfway there. If you read the local papers or New York Newsday, you know that the work of the Eastwood Community Historical Society is well documented. Since being organized, ECHS, I'm just going to shorten that, has restored the roof of the St. David AME Zion Church, installed a new tin roof, and had the stained glass windows protected with plexiglass. Exhibits and programs featuring the history and culture of African Americans are presented during Black History Month every year. We have presented programs on the following topics: the Amistad Revolt of 1839, Paul Roberson American Legend, honoring Black writers in 2000, Whale Ho, Black Men Under Sail, the stories of Black whaling captains and shipbuilders and inventors in the 19th century, also African American visionaries, their inventions and discoveries. Probably best known was the project spearheaded by the Society in 2001, The Return of the Amistad. In collaboration with Sag Harbor Whaling Museum and the East End Classic Boat Society, this 7-day event included tours of the schooner Amistad, a replica of the 1839 ship, which was based at Sag Harbor's Long Wharf. The event attracted thousands of visitors. My mother was so proud to have co-chaired that event. Additionally, over the years, we conducted many lectures in local schools in the Eastville area, which was predominantly African-American, white. Additionally, over the years, we conducted many lectures in local schools on the Eastville area, which, while predominantly African-American, was still a unique multicultural community. The ECHS has highlighted the histories of various families of the diverse Eastville community. These have included the Mader family, Shaw, Yardley family, the Johnson family, the Cuffey family, the Farrow family, and the Harris Burwell Butler family, among others. The Eastville Community Historical Society, easier, also features in its permanent collection the family histories and photos of other Irish immigrants and Native Americans who then and now were part of the Eastville community. It is because of this unique combination of Americans on the east end of Long Island that we have chosen as our motto, linking 3 cultures. And this is reflected in our logo. There will be, by the way, brochures with that logo and that motto at the back or on your chairs. Okay, terrific. In closing, may I add, Mom, may she add, part of the mission of the Eastville Community Historical Society is to expand Sag Harbor's history and to make it more inclusive. Restoration of the gardens and utilization of this little mail order house as part of Sag Harbor's living history will encourage many related projects, such as oral and documentary histories. The building's space will enable our historical society to expand its collections and have ongoing exhibits and class visits from schools throughout the East End. When people visit Sag Harbor, we will enrich their experience of this historic village and bring into their consciousness a rich and diverse history of East Hill. The house and surrounding gardens now stand as symbols of hope and beauty to the community, as well as a source of pride in the history of the working class. The cultural history of Sag Harbor's district is more than just the showcase homes of the wealthy. In this house, which we have named the East Hill Heritage House, we continue to present another side of life, a more modest style of living, won by hard labor. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. Let's join in singing our closing hymn, number 1018, Come and Go With Me.
Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land where I'm bound. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land where I'm bound. There'll be freedom in that land. There'll be freedom in that land. There'll be freedom.
We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth,
the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment.
These we carry in our hearts until we are together. We can't change the past, but we can learn from it and build on it. We can't control the future, but we can shape it and enhance the possibilities for our children and our grandchildren. We can't discern in the present the fullness of our actions and their impact, but we can be pioneers in our time, exploring fully the crevices and cracks where knowledge and new insights might be found. We can explore our spectrum of relationships and confront our complacency and certainty about the way things are. We can dare to face ourselves in our entirety, to understand our pain, to feel the tears, to listen to our frustration and confusion, and to discover new capacities and capabilities that will empower and transform us. In the spirit of the pioneer, let us now go forth. So be it, and blessed be.
This is a song by Sally Rogers called What Can One Little Person Do? And I think you'll catch on to it pretty quickly, so join in when you feel comfortable.
What can one little person do to help this world?
What can one